Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to week 8 of Stop and Live with Jane Vandress, Massage Therapy Radio's weekly radio program. My name is Scott Darnell, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining us. Stop and Live is about living in the present and being conscious of how our thoughts and emotions can attract positive outcomes. Our goal is to guide listeners to a new level of consciousness through awareness of higher self and our connection to others. Learn to be in the present and develop your intuition. Be guided by Jane Vandress, Reiki master and intuitive healer, to use the talent you have within you. I would now like to introduce my friend, colleague, and spiritual advisor, Jane Vandress. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you, Scott. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you.
Have you had a good week?
I've had a good week. You know, started off slow, and it's really picked up and finished off very nicely, actually. I always say the same thing in the beginning of every program with you. I always look forward to my Thursdays with you and doing the show. A lot of fun.
Thank you. I feel the same way. Did you do anything exciting over the weekend?
Last weekend, you know, there was a lot of different things going on. Of course, we had Father's Day happening, and took my son out for his first golf game, and it was just a really memorable, beautiful day, of course, and hopefully started a tradition that'll go on for many, many years. Spend that day with my son and playing golf. It was just very, very enjoyable.
Are you a golf player?
Pardon me?
Are you a golf player?
Yeah. Well, people would argue that, Jane, you know, whether I really am a golf player, but I try. I enjoy it. I enjoy just getting out and enjoying the outdoors and trying not to get too frustrated, but it was a lot of, I have to say that it's a great activity because, it does take quite a bit of time. You're out there for 4 or 5 hours, but you're really away from everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're away from the office, and it just gives you a chance to relax and as you always say, be in the present.
I was just going to say, so you've been practicing what we've been talking about in this show.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, you're one step ahead of me.
Well,
this weekend I was practicing on my gardening. I'm not a real big gardener. I enjoy doing it, but I've just been starting to get the hang of it probably the last year or so. And I can remember when I first started gardening, I have one girlfriend that seems to be her really strong passion and her hobby. So I was, taking pride in my gardening and that. And I remember one day she came over and I said, oh, look at this bush in front of my house, you know, in front of the window. I've been, you know, really grooming it and I'm pruning it and I'm doing everything you asked me to do. And she looked at me and she goes, Jane, you're pruning a weed. I go, a weed? I thought that was a bush. She goes, yeah, it's a weed that turned into a bush, but it's a weed. So needless to say, once she started looking through my gardening, I was taking more care of weeds than I was flowers. But in my own defense, there's a lot of nice-looking weeds out there.
Well, you're out in the country, so yeah, sure there are. A few weekends ago, you know, my wife was away, and I was doing all this work in the yard, and I almost cut down this whole section of garden, and because these plants look like weeds to me, and I thought, you know, I better just leave them. They turned out to be the part of my wife's perennial garden, so I'm glad I decided to, you know, leave what I could do to today till tomorrow. That was a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very good decision.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain and storms.
Well, it's
haven't we? So the flowers have been
beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything. Certainly, that the gardens have really enjoyed all that rain. That's for sure. It's almost very kind of like BC weather. You know, not cold, a little bit cooler and rainy.
If you look at the big picture and see that the rain helps the gardens grow, and if we're all part of nature ourselves, then every time it rains, we grow too.
Exactly, and it makes us look good because our gardens look good because they're being watered well.
Mm-hmm.
So. I want to remind our listeners for those who are listening over live streaming audio over the internet, they can contribute their questions and comments in the Q&A box on the bottom left. Simply enter your question or comment and your name and press send, and it comes right through to me. And we'd be more than happy if we can. We can't use all the questions tonight, then we'll use them definitely on the next show. But as I always say, we always appreciate your contributions. We were going to talk about something, but would you like to start with the affirmation first?
Sure, that one. You can start with that. That would be good.
Okay. I know I was going to go off on a little tangent there, and I thought I better bring it back in. I'll start with tonight's affirmation. Tonight's affirmation actually comes a little tribute from Jane to her husband, whose birthday last week, and it's from his favorite group and one of Jane's favorite group, which is Rush. And it comes from a song of theirs called Free Will. And the affirmation goes, "You can choose a ready guide in some celestial voice. If you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. You can choose from phantom fears and kindness that can kill. I will choose a path that's clear. I will choose free will."
Sends chills. I can actually picture Rush singing it now.
Well, I have to say it's the first affirmation we've had from a song, but that's good. Because they're all forms of art. Yeah.
Anything that still implies and talks about what it is that we're trying to do within the show.
Exactly.
And I was just going to just elaborate a little bit about that affirmation. And the affirmation talks about free will and about freedom. And I think freedom is probably considered in the eye of the beholder. It's where you are in life and how you're going to view what freedom means to you. I can remember freedom a long time ago to me used to mean do what you want and when you want to do it. And I can remember growing up when we were kids, and Scott, you might have a similar memory as well. When we were kids, you had to be in the house before the lights went on, when the lights went on in the street. And I can remember other kids were out and playing about and everything, and I can remember being with my friends and feeling embarrassed, like, oh, Jane's got to go in now the light before the lights go on, and having to leave my group and a friend to go home. And I thought, geez, you know, all the other kids were so lucky. And later on, I understood later how lucky I was for having parents that cared enough to set us and give us some ground rules so that it could, you know, help us to grow and get to know ourselves better. And I was just going to share what I've learned and read myself about what the nature of free will is. Sharing with us that we're in control of our choices and that this is our destiny and that we're free to think and decide, and we're aware of our ability to think and the consequences of our choices. We can claim responsibility for our actions and freedom to choose how we want to live and how we want to heal. And once you get to understand about free will, you can actually move into what we consider a higher will, which has been called higher will or divine will or God's will. And that is having our free will choice of any moment and then always challenged to serve our internal divine will. So our divine will is then based on our power within rather than our power against or over one another. And this freedom of will is based on freedom for all rather than control of others. And I actually found an affirmation that I wanted to share. It was in a book of Barbara Brennan, and I believe it was Hands of Light, and it was an affirmation to align with God's will or divine will or your higher will. And you can replace the word with God. If you're not comfortable with God, you can say divine will or higher will or God's will. "I commit to the will of God. I give my heart and soul to God. I deserve the best in life. I serve the best cause in life. I am a divine manifestation of God." that's a nice affirmation to have, just to remind you that you are free to make your own choices, and that there's, you can always choose to choose from a higher will that's best for you and everybody else involved. Is there anything that you would like to share with that, Scott, or maybe your views on what you think or feel free will or freedom is for you?
Well, it's such an interesting topic. You know, everybody has their personal opinion, and there's so many great books on that concept. Is that, you know, we are all part of nature, but only, I guess, humans have that consciousness or the ability to have, to understand the concept of free will. And we to a great extent, I believe that we have so much freedom, but we, you know, in another extent, I always believe that, you know, there's, even though we have will to make our own choices, there are certain laws in the universe that still govern us, right? So, I mean, and, you know, there's numerous ones, but I always think of conscience, that, you know, our conscience kind of guides us on with our free will, what we decide to do, make our right choices. That's, you know, that's a difficult topic, because sometimes, you know, when you are succeeding, you know, you'll attribute it to free will, and then when you aren't succeeding to the same level, you'll say you don't have free will. You know, so whenever I get to the point of saying, well, you know, I don't have the freedom to do what I want, I, you brought this topic up with me the other day, so I think about, I said, well, what's a good example of someone who's lost their freedom, who really truly lost their freedom, and maintain their humanity and maintain their belief system. And when I think of someone like that, I think of someone like Nelson Mandela. I think of a man that was in prison for years and years and years, for really no charges, never stood trial. And when he left or got out of prison, he didn't blame people or hold grudges, or there wasn't, you know, as the old story is, you know, blood spilt or anything like that. His only concept, his only goal was to move forward, to move forward as an individual, to move his country forward, to move his people forward. So sometimes when I think that, you know, I'm a little upset with, you know, that I don't have the choices, I go back to think that, you know, I really do have a lot of choices. I have a lot of freedom. And I try to think of someone who's had those freedoms, or never had those freedoms, or have had those freedoms taken away. And I think how blessed I am to be in the situation I am, and have the opportunities I have, and you know, live in a free and fair and just society. So that was a long-winded answer, but I'd been thinking about that for a little while.
It's a heartfelt one. When you share that about Nelson Mandela, and that you have me think too of people who were in concentration camps, or people who felt, you know, their freedom was taken away, or they were in, you know, like considered cell blocks and that, where they didn't have any interaction with people, or they were even, you know, taken away even the clothes on their body. And, you know, when you're stripped of everything, you feel like you have nothing. And there was a gentleman, I don't know a lot about him. I know that his name's Viktor Frankl, and he was in one of those concentration camps. And after coming out of the concentration camp, he actually wrote an affirmation or a certain quote that sounds so liberating for what we're talking about here tonight, and after what you shared with your thoughts and input on freedom as well. And Viktor Frankl says, "Everything can be taken away from a man, but the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." I think that's huge. That he shared that because when he was like taken away all his freedom, and he was, you know, just left to, at that point, thought that he was left to die. And he used his imagination and within his mind, and that was the part that they couldn't take away from him. As he says in the affirmation, is that he chose his own attitude. So he saw himself as being free, and knowing that nobody could take the mind away from him, and that he was free to explore and to experience that still. So sometimes it can be a blessing to be given situations like that, that you can come to know yourself so much clearer and so much, let's say, higher consciousness.
That's true. That's true. And I'm sure I've heard Stephen Covey quote him before. That's an excellent example. Very, very nicely done, Jane.
Yeah, it was inspiring after you spoke about your thoughts and views and telling a story about Nelson Mandela as well.
Well,
and you're right, it's
inexpensive.
What always
inspired me about him was his attitude.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And that he, you know, you look, you know, you think that, you know, he was born in 1918, right? Like, you know, the man has longevity. And and what he, you know, when he was finally released, he wasn't full of hatred. You know, he was full of optimism and love and forgiveness, and as I said, optimism for the future for his country. So, those people that have that type of strength are just incredible. I find them incredible people. So. They're, like I said, I always use them for a good example when I start to, you know, the old story of feeling a little bit sorry for wherever you are in a specific situation, to realize that you do have choices, and you do have freedom. And I guess in our society, because we really do have so much, that sometimes we forget that. As you said earlier, the freedom really starts within your own mind and your
mm-hmm.
own, it's your own decision. It's not what someone puts up around you.
And that's what creates freedom in itself, is the fact that you get the right and the choice to have your own attitude and what you feel and think of something. Nobody can take that away from you. They can try. But it does belong to you.
We have some questions. Would you like to see if we can get through a few?
Sure, I'm open for questions.
Great. Our first question comes from Carol. And Carol says, "Hi, Jane and Scott. My name is Carol, and I am... I was experiencing a dream when I was sleeping. I'm sorry. I saw a bright light and then found myself floating over my body. This experience was rather scary and exciting at the same time. Someone said that I could have had an out-of-body experience. Could you please explain what this is and share some of the signs one might look for? Thank you."
Thank you, Carol. So that's the question that, again, explores a different aspect or way of thinking for maybe for some people. It's said that a lot of people do have experience with out-of-body experience, and the thing is education. So if you better understand what's happening with yourself, then you're not so afraid, and once you understand something and it's not unknown to you, then you can, you know, embrace it. So actually what out-of-body is a feeling of leaving one's physical body and observing yourself and the world from outside your body. And a lot of people experience this in dreams, or like what we call lucid dreaming, where you become aware that you're dreaming while you were dreaming. And sometimes with people, when they have had out-of-body experiences, it can be due to certain conditions, where people might be under anesthetic, to do a surgery. They might be semi-conscious due to traumas. They might be have an influence of drugs or sleep deprivation. They might have a near-death experiences, which is one of the more common ones for out-of-body experiences. We each have what we call seven bodies. There are seven planes of reality. And one of the bodies that we have is called an astral body. Now, the astral body is said to be capable of leaving the other bodies for an out-of-body experience. This can also be called what we call astral projection, and this is a type of out-of-body experience. The astral body journeys anywhere in the universe. And the astral body is the seat of our feelings and our desires, and it's described as being connected to the physical body. And what you see is it's attached to the physical body by an infinitely elastic, very, very fine cord. It's like a silver cord. And it's kind of like what you could call like a universal or cosmic umbilical cord. And actually that's attached to your physical body. And you have the earth body and you also have the astral body. So what that cord does is helps you to understand that you're never away from your body. So that cord, anytime you want to go back into your body after you've had this experience, it's just like a cord, like a bungee cord, and it just kind of snaps and it pulls your astral body back into your physical body. So what I wanted to share with out-of-body is I'll share some signs. And these signs are a little signpost that you can be able to better understand now if you're having an out-of-body experience or you may have had an out-of-body experience. You may hear a humming or a high-pitched sound or kind of like a pop sound. You may feel that you're being pulled, like that kind of pulling sensation or very, very dense or heaviness. You might feel yourself twirling around really, really fast like a vortex. You can feel yourself traveling at a very, very high speed. You might experience a bright light like our, speaker Carol, who sent in the question, our listener, how she experienced the bright light. You might feel shaking or vibrating, or the bed may feel like it's shaking because you're vibrating. You may feel a thump. Now, usually if you feel a thump, that's your astral body is returning back into the physical body. I know through my own personal experience, I have had out-of-body experiences. At first, didn't know I was having out-of-body, but one in particular that I can remember is I went to bed at night, and usually that's when this happens because you're sleeping, and I went to bed, and in the middle of the morning, it was probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I found myself walking around my room. Now, at that time in my bedroom, I had a mirror, and the way it was slanted, you could see the bed if I looked in the mirror. So I thought I was walking around the room, and I happened to look in the mirror, and as I looked in the mirror, I noticed that I saw my body sleeping in the bed. So I turned around, and this was quite alarming. So it's like I see my body sleeping in the bed, and yet I could see my own face and body in the mirror. So at that point, it kind of freaked me out. So I could feel my body trembling and vibrating, and the next thing, I felt kind of like a thump, and I found myself back in my body laying in the bed and opened my eyes and thought, what the heck just happened? And it was later on that I found out that it was an out-of-body experience. But for my first time experiencing that, it is quite unnerving. And as I said before, if you're not educated on it, you don't understand it. It can be quite scary, as Carol has described in her own experience. Now, the purpose for out-of-body experience, there's so many different reasons and purposes. But it is said that you can experience raising your vibrational level of higher than like your... You can raise the vibrational energy higher than of the physical state. So you may see the universe beyond this material realm. It's as we were talking about freedom, experience freedom. This is a good way for you to experience freedom. Because when you think about it, when your astral body can do all these amazing things and it at times feels trapped within the physical body, it only makes sense that sometimes it needs an escapism. It needs to explore who it is and then be able to come back and suit and be fitted back into the physical body again. Also, in the astral plane, it's considered raw energy, and it can be molded easily through our thoughts and wishes. But the thing with the astral plane, because there's no concept of time, everything happens instantaneously. So even though we can manifest here on Earth, we have that conception that there's time, and because that's an illusion that there's 24 hours in the day, it seems as though when we manifest, it takes longer in order for it to happen. Whereas in the astral plane, because everything happens instantaneously, that's why things can you can find yourself, okay, you know what, I'm here right now, and the next minute you think of something else, and you find yourself somewhere else. Another purpose that can be helpful too is that when you're having astral body or out-of-body experiences, you can feel less attached to the physical plane And that can certainly make our lifetime here a little bit more easier, because sometimes we complicate things being here in the earth, because on the earth plane, because we're so attached to physical things, physical outcomes, people, places, things. We're so possessive in owning. It's like, you know, this is my house, this is my home, this is my, you know, my partner, my family. Nobody else can have them, that sort of thing. So having astral travel too helps to open up ourselves and understand that there's more than this reality that we see through the eyes, through the physical eyes. We can understand only things that are within us, or that we consider what the definition of what we consider reality. And that sometimes we have problems experiencing the spiritual realities or the higher dimensions because they don't feel real to us. So we have to be led sometimes step by step, slowly, in a kind of a, as I said, step by step process. So out of body of experiences, when we have just little tastes of it, like what our listener Carol had, it's just kind of to introduce her and invite her into that possibility of out of body experiences. We need to let go of our ideals of how it will or should be, and just allow the experience to unfold, and therefore we can find it to be an enjoyable experience rather than a fearful one. Well, I thank you, Carol, for your question. I hope this has helped. Please feel free to go on the internet. You would get a lot of information on there too by just punching in out-of-body experiences. There's a lot of webs out there as well as books. And thank you for your question.
Excellent.
Now, Scott, this might be new for you. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's something new every week with you, Jen. That's all good. But at least I know what that means now. I've got an explanation of everything. I'm open to it all. We have our next question comes from Teresa. And she said, I've heard it being said that you can go into your body, and by feeling your energy, you can understand where you are at this moment. Can you please give me some insight into this theory? Thank you, Jane. And that's from Teresa.
Thank you, Teresa. We've discussed before in programs that only when we shut our minds off and we feel who we are, like our being, can we really know who we are. So when you go within your body and you feel your energy, you're actually doing an exercise in which we call for grounding, and it helps you to become more self-aware. So, well, what I do personally is, for myself, I'll scan inside my body, and I kind of feel my way through my body, through my body parts, organs and glands and extremities, and I visualize and feel the energy flowing and kind of sense any areas that I might feel stressed, I might feel, you know, that are feeling painful, or I may be feeling an emotion in a certain area or part of my body. This is a good technique to help to induce deeper relaxation. It helps us to be more mindful of our body, and it can help us to be more in the present moment. We can either do this or play golf. You can scan your body from beginning with your feet, and you can slowly move up all the way, visualizing to, like, start with your feet, and you can go up through your calf muscles, up through the abdomen, the chest, and so on, up to including your head and up to the crown. At times you may feel a vibration or tingly feeling. You might feel heat or cold sensation, but what you're feeling is you're feeling alive, and you're feeling connected to yourself, and you're feeling connected to your surroundings, you in your surroundings, and feeling more aware. You can, once you start feeling this energy within the body, it's a good idea to just surrender to whatever it is that you're experiencing in the moment. Just notice the energy, allow it to be what it is in the moment without reacting or judging it or labeling for what you're feeling. Just focus on the sensation of the energy in your body. You will soon discover peace, just as you keep going along and just inducing that relaxation. Because when your body's relaxed, your mind is quiet. They both work together in expanding your consciousness to higher levels. I hope this helps you, Therese, in your answer to your question. Thank you.
Excellent. Our next question comes from Marlene. And her question is, what are chakras? And how can I use them to balance my body?
Thank you, Marlene. Well, chakras are energy centers, and they're located throughout the body. And another word for chakras would be wheels or wheels of life. They're constantly moving and absorbing currents of energy. And when the chakras function well, the energy flows naturally, and it goes throughout our system, which is for our growth and personal development. Now, there are seven major chakras. You have your root chakra, your sacral chakra, your navel or solar plexus chakra. You have your heart, your throat, your third eye, and your crown. Now, the first one, your crown chakra, is actually a vortex of energy that is the color red. Now, when you see the best description that I found for visualizing chakras is to look and see them as a vortex. Because if you just look and see them as spinning wheels, I mean, that's great as well, too. But if you see them as spinning wheels, then you tend to just look at the chakras as being in the front of the body. When you look at them as being a vortex, so you see like a vortex or like a tornado that comes out from your body, out towards into the earth, like into the universe. And then you see a vortex outside the back of your body. That gives you better understanding that energy actually works outside of you and around you. So you actually see the chakra coming out the front and also out the back. So when I go through and I talk about the seven chakras, if you want to just try and visualize a vortex of energy coming out through the front of your body, I'll show you the location, and out through the back of your body. So the first is the root chakra, and that's a red vortex. And that's located down just at the base of the spine. And that represents being physical. It represents being grounded. And it has to do with security. So then we go to the second chakra, which is the sacral chakra, and that's located just below the belly button. And that's a beautiful color orange. So you would again see the vortex orange coming out through the front of the body and the back of the body. And that has to do with the seat of the emotions. It has to do with creativity, how passionate we are, how lively we feel. And then we go up a little further and we go just to the navel, to the navel and a little beyond. And we have the navel or the solar plexus chakra, and that's a beautiful color yellow, just like the golden sun. Now that has to do with our self-esteem and our will. And then we go up further to the heart, and right at the heart it's a beautiful color green. And that has to do with relationships. It has to do with love, kindness, affection, and compassion. And again, you're seeing the vortex out and the vortex at the back. Then you move up to the throat, which is a beautiful color blue. That has to do with our self-expression or communication. Then you go to the third eye, and that's the color indigo, which is like the midnight sky or a new pair of blue jeans. That has to do with insight, visualization, and telepathy and our intuition. And then you go up to the seventh crown chakra. And that you can actually visualize as white light or you can visualize as violet. Some people say either or. And that has to represent with the wisdom and being one with the world. Now, the chakras can have various levels of activity. When your chakras are open, they are considered balanced. Some chakras are not open enough, and they are underactive to compensate for the other chakras that are overactive. The ideal state is when the chakras are balanced, and balancing the chakras can help you to restore balance and develop better health within your mental health, your emotional health, spiritual, and physical health. Some say to balance your chakras, you can start from the feet and work all the way up to the crown. Others say start from the crown and go down to the feet. And then there's some that say you can do both. When balancing the chakras, you can eat fruits and vegetables that actually represent the color of your chakra. So if you are feeling or you've been told, well, you know what, my third chakra is, it's a little not quite open as I'd like, is a little inactive or a little overactive, a little underactive. What you can do to balance it out is you can eat more yellow vegetables or fruit. So you might want to eat a banana or you might want to eat yellow green beans. Another thing you too can do is wearing clothing. So you might want to wear more yellow to activate this chakra and get it moving more as well for you so that you can balance it. And this will definitely help to assist you in balancing and restoring in harmony within your chakras. Thank you, Marlene, for your question, and I hope this helps answer what it is you were looking for. Thanks again, everybody, for submitting their questions. We always get some real good ones, some doozies.
Excellent. And we have some questions left, but we're running late on time, but we will address them in next week's show. Wonderful explanations on those, Jane. Wonderful. I learned so much listening to you every week. It's excellent.
Thank you.
We work in a clinic, and I see you do Reiki, and I've I've been in your room, and I'm always looking at the charts with the chakras, and I really didn't know what they were, so it was really good to get that detailed explanation. It was very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I wanted to mention to our listeners, first of all, I had a wonderful time with my husband on his birthday. We had a great time. But I also wanted to announce, too, that your birthday's coming up, is it not? Is it not this weekend?
It is. It's on
Saturday.
Yeah.
There he goes. So I just want to wish you a happy birthday, and I'm sure our viewers would like to wish you a happy birthday, too. You're going to be 21, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Again. Yeah.
Do you have any special plans?
We're actually, it's funny because we're going to a wedding on Saturday. So it's a very nice young lady that a younger cousin of my wife's, and actually a teacher at our kids' school. So very lovely young girl, Alessandra, and she's be getting married this Saturday, and actually looking forward to it. So it should be a nice day.
You're going
to
have the best.
You're
going to have the best birthday cake, a wedding cake.
Yes,
that's huge.
Yeah. And it's an Italian wedding, so the you know I like to eat, so it'll be lots of food. So it'll be a great time. And actually, tomorrow night, my very good friend is turning 50, and her birthday's the day before mine. So her husband's having a big surprise birthday party tomorrow night, and looking forward to that. So it's going to be lots of nice events on the weekend. Looking forward to them all.
Oh, great. Happy birthday to your friend as well.
Well, thank you. I'll let her know. I'll say Jane says happy birthday. I'm blessed. I live in a great place and have wonderful friends and neighbors and family. So.
Well, you get what you give.
Thank you. I'm happy. I love to help my neighbors, and they've always been helpful to me. So it's a good thing. Be kind to thy neighbor.
Well, you have a great birthday, Scott.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. I plan on having a wonderful birthday, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I wanted to read next week's affirmation so we could tee it up if people wanted to submit their questions or comments. They don't have to follow our affirmation, but I wanted to read that. And this is kind of funny because we had that question come in where we addressed dreams, and this deals with our affirmation for next week now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dreams are illustrations from the book your soul is writing about you, and that's Marcia Norman. And where did you pick that affirmation, Jane?
Because I like dreams.
You like dreams?
I like dreams, and also that's very symbolic for the fact of when you're dreaming, and also everybody has dreams. We all have goals that we want to manifest and bring through. And that's how we experience life. We're creating all the time. And it's been said, too, that we're the actors in our plays, we're the novelists in our books, we're the authors. So I thought that was a good affirmation to share.
Wonderful. So that's good. I didn't think about that, because dreams can be kind of conscious or not conscious, right? You know, they can be during our sleep and we're semi-conscious of them, or our dreams or our goals or our aspirations we're very awake for those. And we need to think about those and set those goals and to achieve those dreams.
That opens it up for our listeners. It's expansive for them to send in questions. And you know what? We've said this before. We're not shy for you even to send in that something, maybe a story you might want to share with us.
Exactly. We're interested in comments and stories and questions.
Mm-hmm.
They help shape our shows.
Exactly.
Well, Jane, again, thank you for another wonderful show. I enjoy every week. I learn something new every week. I've got to learn about out-of-body experiences today, which is interesting, but it's all enjoyable. And to all of our listeners, and thank you so much for tuning in this evening. We'll be back again next Thursday at 10 p.m. And for Jane Vandress, and, of course, my name's Scott Dartnell and Massage Therapy Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Do you have anything else you want to add, Jane?
Well, I just want to say good night, Scott, good night, listeners, and thank you for a fun evening.
Thank you very much, Jane, and I hope everyone's well and has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday evening. Take care now.
Thank
Be well.
You.